I do thank you for making this program financially possible. Without you, it couldn't happen. These children up here this morning, I just have a couple of announcements to make, but I want to share a word with you grown-ups. Now, we've been watching the children and listening to them. And you saw an example up here this morning of what people are like that belong to the kingdom of God. There was a lady and some dads brought some of their children to Jesus. Luke records the story. And they brought them to Jesus for Jesus to bless them. And the disciples said, "You're bothering Jesus. Leave him alone." And they rebuked the moms and dads that brought the children for Jesus to bless them in Luke chapter 19. They rebuked them. Jesus heard them, and he told them, "Don't you do that. You suffer the little children. You let the little children come to me, because of such is the kingdom of heaven." It's interesting that in that little four-verse section in the 19th chapter of Luke, the story before it was of the Pharisee and the publican that went to the temple to pray. And the Pharisee prayed. He talked to the Lord. He said, "Lord, I'm so glad that I tithe and I fast and I do all these things. I'm not like that publican over there, and I'm so thankful to you that I'm a holy man." And the publican said, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." And Jesus said, "The publican went home justified, saved," in our terminology today. And the holy man went home condemned. Then Jesus told the people brought the children, and Jesus said, see, the publican made it, the Pharisee didn't. Jesus told them, said, everybody that gets to heaven has to be like a little child. And then after that, just as soon as he got through with that, standing in the crowd, there was this, what the story we know is a rich young ruler. It's always interesting to see how the stories in the Bible, what their contexts are. See, the whole set of three stories was to tell people how to get to heaven. The rich young ruler, as soon as Jesus said, "For such is the kingdom of heaven," the rich young ruler said to Jesus, "Well, what must I do to get into heaven?" You see, he was rich. He talked with Jesus. He was well thought of in his community and everything. And Jesus said to him, "Sell everything that you have." No, Jesus said to him first, he said, Jesus recited to him basically the Ten Commandments. And the rich young ruler said to Jesus, "I've kept every one of them since I was a child." And Jesus said, "There's one thing that's in the way. You're too hung up on the world. Get rid of everything you have and then come follow me." So Jesus, in that set of verses from Luke 9 down through 23, Jesus in that set of verses tells us that the only ones out of that group that got into heaven were the children, like you saw this morning, and that publican that became as a child. And then in Matthew chapter 18, listen, grown-ups, Jesus, well, let me just turn to it and read it, if you want to turn in your Bibles, just for a second. Matthew chapter 18. Just a little while prior to the encounter with the children that wanted to be blessed. At this same time came the disciples to Jesus and said, now listen to this, "Who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" They asked him, "Who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Alright? I ought to have one of the children sitting up here. And Jesus called a little child and unto him and set him in the midst of them. Now Jesus called one of these children, a little child, and he set him down. You guys want to know who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? I already told you I'm going to tell you a little bit how you get into heaven, but this is going to be the greatest. And Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted," now all you grown-ups listen to me, "except you," and you children too, "except you be converted and become as a little child, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." What is he talking about, being like a child? Verse 4 says, "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child," Jesus had a little child sitting there with him, and all these things you're giving these kids, they'll keep them. I still have my little Sunday school cards from when we were kids in Sunday school. My mom made a book out of them, gave them to me. We have them stored away somewhere. These kids will have this stuff. This means the world to them. "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Do you understand what he's saying? Grown-ups today, if you want to get into heaven, you need to become as one of these children. Jesus explains it in verse 4 to some degree. He says, first of all, you have to be humble. These kids are kids. They're possessive, they're selfish, they're quick-tempered, they're kids. But they're humble. Mom speaks to them, or dad speaks to them, corrects them, they go off and cry. It breaks their little hearts. Children are humble. Jesus said if you want to get into heaven, you have to be humble. In fact, he says if you don't humble yourself as this little child, you're not even going to get into heaven. Not only that, but they're not worldly. It's unworldliness is a characteristic of children. Grown-ups, listen to me. Be humble. Don't be worldly. These kids, I guarantee you, there's not a single one of these kids that's concerned about his retirement, how fancy his home is, how fancy his clothes are, whether or not he's going to have the best of food to eat, how much money he has in the bank. Do you understand what Jesus is saying? You need to forget about the things of the world and get your focus on Jesus if you want to get into heaven. Humility, a lack of worldliness, simplicity. If I'd ask these kids right now what they want right now, probably most of them say, "I want lunch." Okay? They're simple. We get so complicated, and we get so important, and we get so involved with ourselves like the Pharisee was. Lord, I am so thankful to you that I'm not like you. Don't ever let that attitude come in. Humility, simplicity, a lack of worldliness. And finally, these kids, every one of them, you saw this week or today what they've learned this week and this year. They're teachable. Jesus said, if you want to get into heaven, you need to become as a child. Simple, humble, a lack of worldliness, and teachable. So I want you to bow your heads for just a moment. And I want you just to search your heart, and I want you to ask the Lord. There may be someone here this morning that's not even saved. And you've been so enamored and so involved with yourself till you've lost sight of what it takes to get into heaven. And not only that, some of you that are born again here this morning may have forgotten what it takes to be great in the kingdom of God. And it's the same thing that it takes to get into the kingdom, a child-likeness. So I'd ask you this morning to examine your hearts as I pray, and then I'm going to make some announcements. Father, I just pray for these sweet people that are gathered here this morning. Lord, I thank you so much for these children and these workers that have worked so hard, for Debbie, for making it happen. Sometimes there are hard things that has to be done to run an organization. And Lord, she's called on to do the hard things as well as the pleasant things. And she does them so well with such grace. And I ask you to continue to bless her and her efforts. And grow this Awana program, Father. I pray this year that it would double along with this church as it doubles in attendance this year. And I just pray, God, when we start back up in the fall, it'll be one of the greatest years that we've ever had with Awanas. And Father, here this morning, if there's one that's not as a child, that's not willing to lay off the things of the world, that hadn't laid off the things of the world yet, and accepted the salvation that you've offered through the sacrifice of Jesus on Calvary, if there's one here this morning that's lost, save them today, I pray. Give them a heart that's willing to open itself and receive you this morning and say to you, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I want you to save me. I thank you for making the sacrifice, paying the penalty for me, shedding your blood on Calvary to wash away my sins, so I could be saved and live forever in heaven with you. And I accept that gift today in simple faith, and I give my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you made that decision, I want you to tell me later. I want you to let me know, because there's some other things that you need to do. And not to be saved, but to walk, to grow your walk with the Lord. Just two or three announcements, and then I'm going to let you go. I want to thank all of those that work so hard. I want to thank all of you that are not members of this church regularly for letting us have your children. And by the way, if you're not members of this church and you're looking for a church, we would be tickled pink to have you as part of this church. And we need workers, too. We need more workers, so don't we, in Arowanas? We need more workers. It takes a lot of workers. But Thursday night, there was a group worked out here at the Parsonage Number 2. We've almost got it ready. There's a little bit more work to be done. I'll be in touch with some of you this week about that. A few more things to wind up, and some of the ladies are going to have to buy some drapes and shades and get those things ready for us men to put up. But we're just about there, and I appreciate it. David and Sandy will be with us the first Sunday in June. I'm excited about that. But those that worked Sunday, this past Thursday night, was my wife Barbara and Johnny and Art and Kay Ness. I'm telling you, Art and myself dug a ditch with Aaron, helped us a little bit. But Art and myself dug a ditch and we buried a drain tile out there, okay? I told him, we were out there sweating and just foaming at the mouth, and I told him, I said, here are all these young guys in there painting, sweeping, and here you and I, the two oldest codgers in this bunch, out here digging a ditch, you know. But I guess they chose the most capable ones, Art. That's all I know. We were more fit than any, I suppose. But Art, and then Kay fixed us a wonderful meal. Thank you, Kay. She said, don't say anything about it. Okay, so I won't say anything about Kay fixing a wonderful meal for us Thursday night. And then Aaron and Shirley and Ted and Donna and Sam and Olin, we just had a great group, and I appreciate it so much. We're going to be honoring our graduates soon, a week or two, so if you have someone graduating from the 8th grade or high school or college, let us know. Volunteers, I want to thank them. The church office now is open every day of the week from 9 until 1. Thank the volunteers, and there's so many things being done that I was not able to get everything done, and I appreciate that so much. Norris family will be singing tonight at 6 o'clock at Laurel Springs. If you don't have anything to do, I would encourage you to go. Deacons meet Monday. Barry at what, 6? 7 o'clock, okay? 7 o'clock, so deacons at the house, be over at my house, at our house, 7 o'clock. Prayer, let me add to your prayer request list on the back of your bulletin real quick, and we're ready to go. The David Woodring family, David passed away yesterday morning. That's Leroy's dad. Leroy comes over here when we have revival special services. So remember the David Woodring family. Nicole will be having surgery Wednesday. So be in prayer for her. And then Weston will be having surgery Wednesday as well. So I want you to remember that family this week, if you would, please. Be much in prayer. Nicole will be at Wilkesboro. Weston will be at Winston, right? We right on that? Okay. And then asked you to add Dorothy McMillan, a lady from West Jefferson, will be having open heart surgery this week, the 22nd. Pray for her. And Jack Riley. You know Jack and Helen up at Todd Mercantile? Jack was diagnosed this past week with stage 4 melanoma. It's in several organs of his body. Prognosis is not real good. Still don't know the origin, don't know which organ it started in. But pray for Jack and Helen. If you get a chance, stop by the bakery up there. Love on them a little bit. And just tell them we're praying for them. And pray that God would open a door that we'll be able to minister to that family really effectively well through this sickness. Steve Cotsford, last prayer request up to date. He had an accident a Friday evening, somewhere between 7:30 and 9 o'clock, just outside Bristol. He's in ICU in Bristol, in the hospital there in Bristol. He is in a partially drug-induced coma. He's in a coma and partially drug-induced. I think they're keeping him under so he can heal. Steve and Linda always sit right here where Ted and Carol are sitting on that seat, or the seat in front of them, I guess. They were sit third seat back. That's their seat on Sunday morning. So I ask that you pray for Steve and Linda Cotsford. Linda's over there with him, of course. And then, of course, we added Bob Seats and Jimmy Seats last week to our prayer list with health issues for both of them. So I ask that you remember them. Yes. Oh, is it this Thursday? Okay, Henry, are you anxious about your surgery, bud? Are you okay with it? He's okay. So mom and dad are the ones that are anxious. So he's having ear surgery Thursday. Thank you, Deb. I appreciate that. So be in prayer for Henry as he has his ear surgery this Thursday. Anything else that I've missed, please? We've got lots of hands up back there. Okay. Yeah. Anytime you want to come or go and you don't have a way, you pick up the phone. You know, I love to haul pretty women around, so you just give me a call. It's not a problem. I'm your man, okay? All right, anything else? Isn't God good? Program special. Chris, thank you, man. I wasn't too long. The kids were the ones that were long, okay? It's not my fault. All right, let's all stand. All right. Listen to this. As you're standing and we're getting ready to pray, I'm going to ask Dan. Dan prayed such a wonderful prayer in our Sunday school class. I'm going to ask him to close us in prayer. But the Lord laid a thought on my heart this week. The only place in the Bible that I know that said God rested was in Genesis chapter 2, verse 2, I believe, when he saw that all that he had made, every time, and several times during the creation days, he said, it's good. But when he finished it up, he looked at it. The Bible says he looked at it and he says, it's very good. And he rested. Listen, just think, church, South Fork, just think, if we could get to the place in our relationship to the Christ as a church, for God could look at South Fork Baptist Church and he could say, it's very good. And he could rest. Would that not be the coolest thing in the world? Let's strive to make ourselves all that God wants us to be so God can look at us and say, it's very good. And maybe just sit back and rest a little. That'd be good. Dan, close us in.